everybody. It really, really is. And appreciate very much the invitation and the welcome. Really is good to see everybody again. I've had a really, really interesting week. On Tuesday, I noticed in the kitchen in the house, the clock had stopped. So because that clock is rather high on the wall, it needed for me to get the little steps to get up there to change the clock. This is Tuesday. So I'm thinking, well, this week is the week for changing the clocks. 1 hour. So I'm thinking, I mean, can you believe how lazy that could ever be? I'm thinking, well, I want to get these steps on Tuesday and change this clock and have to get back again on Saturday and change it again. While I'm doing this right now, I'm going to do this clock 1 hour. So Tuesday, I change the clock 1 hour. On Wednesday, I'm with a group of people and we're talking about changing the clocks. And I discover, to my absolute horror, that I'd changed the clock the wrong direction. I'd changed it forward 1 hour instead of back 1 hour. So I get back in the house and realise that this is hopelessly wrong. But then I'm thinking, well, I don't want to get the steps right now. A couple of hours later, I look and that clock stopped again. I'm thinking, I don't believe this. However, come yesterday, I'm figuring the solution is to get the steps, get up there, turn that clock back now 2 hours to the proper time. And so I've arrived here at 6 o'clock tonight. You'll be glad to know. Why do I say that story? Well, I say that story because in the Old Testament, the Bible talks about some people who understood the time and they knew what they were supposed to do. And to just think about our life with God. And very often, and you know this, when we come to the church, often we think about our own life with God and how God's going to speak to us personally. And that's right that we do that. But also, even in the life of the whole church, all of us joined up together, to be able to say, God, we want to understand the time where we are and the season that we're in. That's an important thing. You know as well as I do that this last few weeks there has been a change of season. Yeah, this is England. And there's been a change of season. Some of my friends were telling me this morning they're going to Kenya for 3 weeks and we're praying that God will bless them. And then this is what they said. We go in to escape the cold for 3 weeks. And I'm thinking, yeah, I would just like to escape the cold for 3 weeks as well. But you understand that we've had a change of season. So what really worked well about 8 weeks ago, 10 weeks ago, that doesn't work quite so well now, does it? None of you have appeared in church tonight with your sunglasses, in a small t-shirt, and sandals. I don't think any of us have arrived like that. Why? Because there's been a change of season. That's why. And so what worked really well in that season doesn't work really well in this season. That t-shirt and those sunglasses and sandals were absolutely great 10 weeks ago, but it's a different season now. And the Bible says God changes times and seasons. And the Bible says that there is a time for everything. A time for everything. And it's good that we say, God, will you help me to understand that you are the God who inhabits eternity, who is outside of time, beyond time, over and above time, but is working in time to meet us right where we are. And to be able to say, God, will you help me even in the change of season? And, you know, it could be that some of you have had a change of season in life. Yeah? Oh, change of season in life. And it could be that some of you are going to have a change of season in life very, very soon. Because God changes times and seasons. But the truth is, time is in God's hands. He created it. Time is in his hands. and the God of heaven and earth, who inhabits eternity, stepped right into time to meet us right where we are. And so I want to say that tonight, and also to be glad that the clock in the kitchen at my house is now correct. So, I want to speak from the book of Hebrews tonight, from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. If I may, I would like to tell you the story of my friend who lives in South Wales. Is it okay if I tell a story? It's a testimony story. And a few weeks ago, the reason I tell the story is that a few Sundays ago, I'm just leaving at 9 o'clock for the morning service, and the phone's ringing, and I look, and I'm thinking, I've not heard from my friend for a long, long time, but she's on the phone. And so she says, look, I'm up from South Wales, I'm in West Yorkshire, can we arrange that we will meet and that we will catch up? And so we arranged, and we went somewhere just off the M1, and I haven't known my friend for many, many years, but I never knew her story. But she told me her story, and I want to tell that story. I'm saying to her, tell me, can I tell that story if maybe I go somewhere? And she says, yeah. You tell that story. It's fine. You tell the story. And so I want to tell the story tonight, and I want to tell the story for several reasons, and I'll come to them in a minute. My friend grew up in South Wales, in the South Wales valleys, coal mining and all of that stuff. And she says, you know, we never went to church. In our family, there was nothing really about God at all. But she says, then when I was 19 years old, my father got sick. Now, her father was an Irishman. Although he lived in South Wales, he was an Irishman. And because he got sick, and really he thought that he wasn't going to recover, he said, I want to go back to Ireland to see my family. And he planned that he would take his wife and also his daughter, who by this time was 19. She says, I arrived in Ireland. I didn't know anybody. I couldn't understand a word that anybody was saying. I'm from South Wales. I'm now in Northern Ireland. My accent, their accent, was like a totally different language. She said, I didn't understand anything that was going on. I didn't know anybody. I was 19 years old. I loved life. She worked in the factories in South Wales. She said, I loved everything about it. The girls in the factories, all the fun and all the stuff that used to go on. And so she said, I found myself in Northern Ireland, and some people came round from next door and said to us, Sue, the house is full of people here, and why don't you come round and stay at our house next door? It will make room for people here, and we've got room at our house. Why don't you come round to our house? So she said, okay, 19 years old, go and stay with the people next door. And so as the time went on, and it was getting nearer the weekend, they said to us, Sue, we go to church on a Sunday. Would you like to come to church with us? She said, I looked at them. I'd never been to church. I didn't know anything about God. She said, I looked at them. And she said, the truth is, I also swore at them and said, absolutely not. There is no way I'm coming to church with you. And so the week continued on. And then she said, I sort of felt bad that I'd been like that, because they'd been kind to me and made room for me in their house. So I felt bad that I'd been like that about it. So, hey, would you ever guess that as the weekend gets nearer, they ask her again, Sue, would you like to come to the church with us? Well, yeah, she says, okay, I'll come to the church with you. I tell this story for lots of reasons, and I'm coming to those reasons, but one of the reasons is this: God has ways of working on people, and invitation is powerful. Oh, it's powerful. So they invite her again, and the Sunday comes, and she says, yeah, I'll come with you. And so she went to the church with them, still didn't understand anything anybody was saying, but at the end of the service, they said to her, we have a youth pastor in this church. Would you like to go? And in those days, of course, particularly in South Wales, churches didn't have offices or a coffee room or anything. They used to just have the back room. I mean, the back room was like legendary. It was like nobody ever went in the back room, only on maybe major occasions, you see. So they said, "Sue, would you like to go into the back room with the youth pastor?" She said, "I'm 19. I looked at him. He's 21. He's got dark curly hair. He looks like a famous footballer I'd seen on the television." She said, "I'm looking, thinking I would love to go in the back room with the youth pastor. I'd like to go anywhere with the youth pastor for that matter." And so a few of them went into the back room, Sue, age 19, the youth pastor, age 21, and one or two. And they sat down in the back room, and the youth pastor said to her, "You know, Sue, it's great that you're here, and it's lovely to see you. And I want you to know that God loves you. And he sent Jesus into the world to die on the cross in our place for our sin. And Sue, you can have a new life. Why don't you open up your heart and let Jesus in?" Well, she was not interested in asking Jesus in at all. But he said, "Sue, why don't we pray? Would you like to pray with me, Sue? So let's pray." And so Sue said, "We started to pray." And the youth pastor said, "Sue, why don't you say these words with me, after me? Dear Heavenly Father." So Sue says, "Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, your one and only Son." Thank you for Jesus, your one and only Son, "who came into the world and died on the cross in my place for my sin. Today I turn from my sin." Sue says, "Oh." She said, "As soon as I got to that part, it was like heaven opened and poured into my heart." She said, "I burst into tears and could not stop crying. I'm there, 19 years old, with this good-looking youth pastor, all a mess of tears, could not stop crying. But," she said, "I knew that I had fallen in love with Jesus, and I loved him, and I was going to love him forever and serve him forever." She says, "You know, that was 38 years ago, and from that day to this, I have been serving Jesus and loving it and planning to serve him for the rest of my life." I tell that story today because it's a true story and testimony is powerful. Invitation is important. And you know, leading people to Christ is not as difficult as sometimes we think. How simple is it to say, would you like to pray with me? And you know, as soon as we begin to pray together, we don't always know what God's doing in people's hearts, do we? I look at this group of people tonight. I don't know what God's doing in any of our hearts, but I know that God is at work because Jesus said, "The Father is always at work." So that tells me God's working in your heart, he's working in my heart, and even in the changing season. And, you know, just singing and waiting on the Lord, just there, I'm kind of feeling like God's got a change of season for you. Gary, God's got a change of season for you. Yeah? And I'm believing that and the blessing of God for this church. It really is good to see you. So some words from the book of Hebrews. Therefore, Hebrews chapter 12, some of you will know the words, and some of you will know that Hebrews chapter 12 follows Hebrews chapter 11. And Hebrews chapter 11 is about all those faith people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Daniel, all those people. We look at them and we say, wow, what faith people they were. And you can see in Hebrews chapter 11 that many of them found themselves with unbelievable challenges. And some of them, God brought them out. And some of them, God took them through. When we are facing challenges, we always want to come out of them. But actually, there are times God takes us through them. But the Bible makes it very clear in Hebrews chapter 11 that they all came through by faith. So whether they came out of the challenge or whether they went through the challenge, That happened because they were trusting God. You know, it is worth trusting God. I want to encourage you today to trust God. Trust God. Trust God. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will make your path straight. And somebody's going to say, amen. Because amen means, I believe it. I'm with it. I'm agreeing with that. So Hebrews chapter 12 comes in and says, therefore, about all these faith people, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, the Bible there, when it talks about those faith people as a great cloud of witnesses, it's not the sense that they are standing there looking on, but actually the sense of it really is that they stand as examples for us to follow. If they were faith people in their world, then we can be faith people in our world now. Oh, we say times have changed, the world has changed. Well, it has, but God remains the same. So if they were faith people then, we can be faith people now. Those people serve as examples for us. So the Bible says, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. So, you've noticed, as well as I have, that we are coming to the end of this year. You've noticed. 2023. Julie and Gary, we were just talking before the service, 7 weeks to Christmas. And so if you live in the same world as I do, you start to think about the year and about all the things that have happened. And then we start to think about next year and all the things that could happen. And so by the time we come to October and we change the clock, and I've changed it correctly. Just remember that. I've changed it correctly in the end. By the time we come to that point, if I can say, we are at an important point. In fact, the truth is that every day of our lives, we stand at an important point. Because we stand between our past and our present. And that's important. And so the Bible talks about, and I'm coming to this from Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible talks about our life with God, and it's very interesting that it does this. It talks about our life with God as a race. Hebrews chapter 12, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. At least five other times in the New Testament, our life with God is described as a race. So that when we come to, as we do today, 29th of October 2023, we stand at an important point right between our past and our future, and we know that a race takes focus, it takes preparation, it takes perseverance, and the Bible says our life with God is like a race, so there has got to be focus. Have you noticed that the people whose life with God is flourishing today are people who are focused on it? Oh, yeah. They're the people who pray when they feel like it and pray when they don't, who pray when the sun's shining and pray when it's raining. What are they doing? They're focusing on their life with God. They're focusing on running the race. It takes perseverance. It takes attention. And so the Bible says, standing between the past and the future, we are in a race. And here we stand today with all the possibility. See, a race has a start and it has a finish. I've told a story about my friend Sue and about her life with God, the race, if you like, starting in Northern Ireland 38 years ago in the back room praying with the youth pastor with dark curly hair. A race with God started on that day. I know God was working before that. I get that completely. But Sue to this day looks back to that day and says, I began my life with God there and then. And of course, the truth is that one day on this planet, it will finish. During this last 4.5 weeks, I've done 5 funerals in 4.5 weeks. And we stand there, and I don't want to be morbid or anything tonight. This is a Sunday night, and you've not come to the church to go away feeling worse. You've come to the house of the Lord to go away feeling better, haven't you? Of course you have. The joy of the Lord in the house of the Lord. The blessing of God flowing from the house of God. But our life with God has a start, and one day it will have a finish. So, the Bible says, between that and that, we are to run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. And so, when we stand where we do today, October 29th, 2023, between the past and the future, between the start and the finish, with perseverance and focus and all of those things, we do several things. Number one, we celebrate that God has been faithful. Oh, amen, amen, amen. God has been faithful over and over and over again. You know, every one of us, and I don't know all of our stories, but I know that in a congregation like this, all of us have had the ups and downs of life. We've had summer and winter. We've been through all those different things. But the truth is, in all of it, God has remained faithful. I tell you, there is reason to celebrate. God is faithful. And so we celebrate God's faithfulness. And in some ways, that is the easy part. Because we look back and we say, God, you came through for me there and there and there and there. You have been faithful. Hallelujah. But also, when we stand where we stand today, we not only look at God's faithfulness in the past, but we start to think about the future. Oh, I saw in one of the places where I was this week, I saw a calendar on a wall. I'm looking at this calendar, and I'm thinking there seems something wrong with it. It doesn't seem quite right. And as I look carefully, it was August. I'm thinking, what's going on here? They've not turned this calendar over. They've not actually sort of stepped into the future. They're still in August on this calendar. How can that possibly happen, you see? But when we stand today between there and there and we think about the future, that for some of us is the more difficult part. Because that's the part that we don't know. Oh, we look back and we see God's faithfulness. We know that part. But when we look at the future, that very often is the part that we don't quite know. And there are things that are not quite certain. What a world we live in. Who would have thought that on 6th of October this year, the following day, the world would be turned upside down? The story of the Middle East. Who would have ever imagined? We live in a world that is absolutely uncertain. However, in all of that, we know that God holds the future. God holds the future. And so here's the man in the book of Hebrews talking about this race. And of course, because in our life with God we are running a race, we remember the past, we look at the future. And in actual fact, there are many directions we can look in. I want to touch on them today. See, when we preachers preach from Hebrews chapter 12, we always talk about running the race that is marked out for us, and it's right that we do. But the next verse says something important, and I want you to get a hold of these words: looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus. See, it can be easy for us to look back. And in all of that, there have been highs and lows, maybe some achievements that we thank God. without a doubt, some disappointments that we cannot understand. But we remember that God has been faithful. The Bible talks about looking back and remembering the faithfulness of God. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Remember them. Call to mind the faithfulness of God. And so we thank God for the past, but actually we can't live in it. And there lies the challenge. We cannot live in it. With all the good things, with all the bad things, and sometimes we carry bad things with us, and that we allow them to shape our present and cripple our future. But actually, with Jesus, the Bible says when he comes in, the old has gone and the new has come. And I want to say today that there is freedom in the house of the Lord. The gospel stands for freedom in our lives, in communities. The blood of Jesus cleanses us, and there's no reason for whatever in the past. And I'm not unsympathetic with whatever. I know sometimes people have gone through all kinds of terrible things. But actually, because of Jesus, today is a new day. Today is a new day. I want you to get a hold of that. Today is a new day. It's a new day. You'll never have 29th of October 2023 again. It's a new day. And God is with us and for us. But it's easy to look back. It's easy to look in. Oh, and particularly if you're an introvert. Oh, you know, if you're an introvert, oh, you look in. And we have our strengths and our weaknesses, every one of us, individuals. We have our strengths and our weaknesses. Every church has them. And it's good that sometimes we look in, not to be discouraged, but actually to be challenged, because actually, in the grace of God, our weaknesses can be turned to strength. God has a way of redeeming our failures, and our weaknesses can be turned to strength. And the Bible talks about strengthening the weak hands. So there's all kinds of directions we can look. We can look back. We can look in. Looking forward is not always easy, because we have never passed this way before. But the Bible says there is one direction. We must be sure that we are looking to Jesus. And you know, there are times that we look around us, we look at each other, maybe we look at our circumstances, we look at our feelings, we remember the past, and the idea is, of course, here of those athletes in the Greek games, like the Olympics, kind of. We all understand that. And you know those athletes come to that starting line. They've got one thing in mind. They're going to cross that finish line. And to be able to say, by God's grace, I don't know for you when it was or where it was, but by God's grace, I have begun this race. I have committed my life to Christ. And so I'm in this race. I want to encourage you, while you're alive, you're still in the race. Still in the race. And sometimes runners get tired, and sometimes the feet hurt. And you know, sometimes if you get tired or your feet hurt, we start to wonder what's wrong with us. Well, actually, there's nothing wrong at all. It's just because we're running a race. We're running a race. But in God's grace, there is the provision to run and not be weary, and walk and not faint, and to look to Jesus. Because with all of those examples that Hebrews chapter 11 talks about, Jesus Christ is the chief example. The Bible says he is the author. That doesn't actually mean that he wrote something. Usually when we think of an author, we think they wrote something. That's not the meaning of it there. No. The idea of that word, the author there, is this, that he is the chief example. Take a look at him. And sometimes when we say, well, life's hard, I tell you, take a look at him. Take a look at him. Sometimes when it's easy to be discouraged, and I don't say it to be trivial or to minimize, take a look at him and all of the things that happened to him. But today, Jesus Christ stands as the chief example, as the pace setter who fulfilled the Father's plan. At the end of it, didn't say, I am finished, but said, it is finished, did the will of God. And we are blessed today because of that. And so we're running a race. The Bible says, he who has begun a good work in you He is faithful to complete it. Well, you've listened well. And it's great to always see old friends again and sometimes to meet new friends for the very first time. And you know, if we could talk together for the whole of the evening, and we won't, but if we could, we would discover that all of us are at different points in the race. And some of us maybe are tired, or some of us have hit hurdles in the race, and it's not easy to get over them. Or some of us have come to points where we don't know how we're going to continue. Well, here we are in the house of God together today. Why would we not just reach out the touch of God on our lives? Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for every person in this congregation and for everybody connected to this church. Father, I pray the touch of the Spirit of God over every life, every home, every family, for every boy and girl here in this building tonight. I pray your word will come to them. Pray the Spirit of the Lord breathe over their lives, cause them to be influencers for good and for God in their world. Lord, I pray for those maybe who are discouraged. You are the God of all encouragement. I pray encouragement to them, renew them in every way. Those who've got challenges that they don't know how they're going to get through, Lord, I pray you'll come through for them. Cause them to see the goodness of the Lord, the hand of God in their lives. Lord, every one of us in the different points of the race, I pray you will strengthen us, cause us to be renewed and to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Looking to you, Jesus, we give you praise. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you very much, Gary. Thank you.